And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unappeared. All right, here we got, man, I messed with levels and it's jacking up the modulator. Test. Yeah, that's better. All right. What we did is we had Kingsley Edwards was scheduled to come on. And, oh, yeah, from Freedom's Phoenix, the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Doc Home. There, you guys missed that, didn't you? Anyway, so Kingsley Edwards was going to come on and talk about RSO, Rick Simpson oil, and his grandfather and how it cured some skin cancer in his face and did and kind of boom, done, and they, you know, doctors can't help you. Well, so we're going to have him talk about RSO, but he couldn't do it this morning for, I don't know why, I'm sure he had something he had to do, but he'll be back. So we'll get him on early November, we'll talk about this, because this is fascinating what it did, and a lot of people I know, that it's all about Rick Simpson oil. And these, small syringe, which is like a gram, or I mean, it's tar. I mean, it's just like super concentrated weed. You know, you ever concentrate weed? So it is something that it gets down to a black tar. You put it in ether or some kind of solvent, and you boil it or whatever, but you boil it in this ether stuff, but it's very flammable. That's why it'll blow up. You know, you get this vapor and open flame and goes boom. So you want to make sure you vent it outside kind of deal. So you do this, not like, you know, cooking meth or something, I guess. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to pot. It's imagine you put alcohol, moonshine, in a pot and you're boiling it on the stove. That would be a bad idea. Boom. But anyway, so what they do is you boil it down, and you want something that does have a very high, a low boiling point, and it evaporates very quickly, you know, like an alcohol, because that's what you're doing, is you're wanting to reduce it down till you get the liquid off and you have just what the solids that are available. So that's how Rick Simpson oil is made. You just take the whole plant, you put it in a bucket, you just boil it, vent it, and then you have this tar, and you take all the biomass out and you go burn it or do whatever you want with it and use it for fibers or something. But the THC and the cannabinoids and all the other stuff, you know, come out and make this black tar stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's more precise than what I'm saying, but yeah, basically that's it. I've seen, you know, Rick Simpson do it, and that's how he does it. Big, you know, vat that's probably, I don't know, 10 gallon freaking bucket, you know, and they put it on an open propane flame and then blow the fan out, you know, the vapors out the, you know, screen door, and you're good, you know. And you just boil it down, you get this black tar, you put it in syringes, and there you go. You take like a piece of rice every day. It's just like a little tube of tar comes out about the size of a piece of rice, and that's it. Now, some people take it and they put it on the surface, you know, put a Band-Aid under. I'm having really good luck with oil of oregano. I am telling you, man. And there's something else, too. It's called, what was the other thing that we were doing? Yeah, whatever. Oil of oregano kind of took over. But you have oil of oregano, and you just put it on whatever infection or rash or blemish or psoriasis. Or I'd like to hear back from the audience. You got some kind of a patch of skin of something or a bug bite or a thing that just won't kind of go away. You're not getting your body's into something. Just take and put oil of oregano. You get them in tablets and you puncture it with a needle or something, squeeze a drop on there, put a bandage on it, and just let it sit there for a couple of days. Get these kinds of bandages that seal all around it. You know, they got some of these flesh colored Band-Aid ones, or I guess they're Band-Aid brands too, but they just seal around it and just puts it right on there. Let me know. Just try that. oil of oregano and a bandage, just put it on, whatever it is, wait 2 days, pull it out, and you go, ow, on stuff that won't go away. So I'm just saying, same thing with RSO. There's another one, it was called Indian Mud or something, that I still have, you know, plug of it. Somebody gave me a little bit, it's probably about the size of a small marshmallow, but it's just a little bit of this mud that you put on there, and you just put, again, bandage over it. And if you think you got a skin cancer or something, if it's nothing, it won't do anything. If it is, it will turn red big, and then all of a sudden it'll get nasty, and it'll push out this bulb, you know, this membrane covered whatever tumor or something it was. And sometimes they're larger than you think, but it heals really well. I mean, it looks nasty as hell at first, like, you know, somebody, you know, slapped you with a red molten fist or something, or I mean, it's just like a burn almost. And then it just goes away, and you can hardly even tell it was there. Now, my daughter has done this. She was worried she had some skin cancers from, you know, tanning beds, you know, she spent high school in. And yeah, it worked. Now, well, how it works is that when your body recognizes a tumor, it puts it in a case. It kind of, you know, a membrane, a skin around it. And that's what holds it off, and then it deals with it or won't let it invade the body, or it kind of pushes it out or whatever the heck it does with it, like you get a splinter or something. Eventually, it'll work its way out, and it's like a pimple, a boil, and you pop, and this big giant thing from a little bitty splinter. Well, that's why you pull them out. Well, when it breaks down that membrane, then your body, and with the, the assistance of this chemical, this mud or something, keeps it from, you know, penetrating and infecting your way, and it kind of just makes it rot, and it pushes it out, and it just comes out as a blop. You just do, all right, I'll go look at graphics. Those of you that are on the live stream, I'm going to pull this up. But what it does is it destroys that membrane so that it can be attacked and pushed out. That's the point. Now, the membrane is there a lot of times to protect you from it. That's why they don't like doing biopsies. They call it a wedge biopsy or something. They're going to go in and take it all, whatever the hell it is, instead of this puncturing that membrane, getting a few cells and go, wow, that was really cancerous, man. I'm sorry we spread it through your body. You know, I'm just like, well, whatever. You know, once you understand how this stuff works, you know, so what do we call it? Indian magic mud or something to probably do it. See if it comes up. Yeah, black salve. That's what it is. Oh, now you can just order it. Okay, before you had to make it or know somebody or whatever years ago, this was not available. Yeah, black salve, the magic. Okay, natural news. Man, they need to get rid of natural news. He's going to like heal people and stuff. Can't have that. Okay, so then if I did this on images, let's see what we get. I want to see when it's done. Yeah, they're talking about stuff, other stuff here. Okay, let's do a Google. Oh my God, we're going to use Google. That's one thing we really are finding. We worked on the search engine internally on Freedom's Phoenix. Go use that. It's way better than Google now for the kind of news that we would look for. They just scrubbed it. It's gone, man. You know, a lot of the stuff, they go, nah, I don't think we're going to let you see that. You know, magic, mud, now go skin cancer. That'll probably do it. Images. Yeah. See, it's you get the right kind of, you know, something that's on there, and you put this black salve on, and it pops it out. I mean, look, it's nasty stuff. You know, I've seen some nasty, nasty. Let me see. They got better. Yeah, you'll get this big hole, but it was going to, like, eat your face or something. But it comes out, and then it heals up. You know, I mean, like, some of these are pretty nasty. But it's, Indian mud skin cancer. Anyway, I want to make sure you guys at least know about this stuff, because it's so simple. It just makes you better. It just pops out, and there you go. Yeah, they don't have as many pictures. That's another thing. They're eliminating the pictures and stuff, too. So you can see, you go, yeah, that's exactly what I got. Let's do that. All right, more. We come back just a little bit.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These pattern monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. Yeah, I had pushed the button and didn't go. Now, what I'm looking at here, a lot of the, you guys on the video seeing me search here, it's called Black Salve. Okay? You go Black Salve Skin Cancer, and it'll come up. Okay? Yeah, it's pretty nasty. But this is what happens. Now, they're showing a lot of it's on the face or something. A lot of times, people, you know, from cell phones or so on. But it just, it'll go, it become a scab, and from the inside out, it'll push it out, and then you're done, and then it heals. Now, depending on where you're at, it might leave a scar. But the scars, if you leave it alone, I've seen where they just heal up. It's like a natural, big, nasty stuff on your nose, and it's gone. Now, take a look at this guy. There's a guy, he has this right on the tip of his nose. He has a little skin cancer thing. He put the stuff on it, kept this black stuff over his entire nose, and this whole thing came out, and now he's got a little scar, and it comes out fine. You know, I've seen this happen with my daughter. And you know, a lot of the stuff you'll put on a suspected little mole or something like that doesn't do anything, but when it does, it does, and it just like a big scab coming, it comes from the inside and pushes it out because that membrane was destroyed so that the body could get in and get it. So it's just, it's amazing, you know, to watch this stuff work, and then it just rebuilds the skin underneath it, and, you know, almost like you couldn't even see it happened. But this has been for years, we've had, that I have it sitting there, we went through, God, what's it, about the size of a half the volume of a ping pong ball, okay, is how much we had, and now I got about half of that, you know, and from various family members of different things to try and do, and have I tried it? I think I put it on stuff, but it didn't, you know, it wasn't skin cancer, so it didn't do anything. I got a couple of things I might want to try, you know, that I'm thinking about it. So there's a lot of this available. And that is what's going to be, a lot of this is going to come out because of the cost of healthcare. There's going to be, salute, I don't want to get treatment, I don't want to be patted on the back, I don't want to have, you know, some doctor just tell me, whatever, shut me up, get me out, and they get to touch me, you know, just so they can raise more money. Because that's what they do. It's called a, a coding that they give, and if you touch them, you get this code. If you do this thing, you get this code. And all they got to do is they look in your ear, look in your eye, touch you, take blood pressure, do that, check these boxes, and we get the code this much in insurance pay if we made money. If you don't do those certain things, you can lose a bunch of money. So they just come in, they have to touch you. Do they care? Are they looking at anything? Are they going to get something from? No, they don't care. They're just, hey man, I just, you know, someone I know, the cardiologist, I see 50 patients a day. What are you running down the hallway, high-fiving them or something? I got a heart, you're going to spend more than freaking 10 minutes to take another pill. I'm like, whoa, it's just service. It's the same thing with anything else. And people have given up their health to the white lab coat. They've given up their freedom to some silk tie. A lobbyist or politician or something. It's just quit giving it up. Start taking it back. Be of service to your community, and you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your neighbor. You know, screw freaking government, you know. You start doing it for your neighbor. Yeah, that'd be a new bumper sticker. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what you can do for your neighbor. Trademark Ernie. Go, man, go. Go take it. But ask not what you can do for your country or what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your neighbor. That's what it really comes down to. The country is not your neighbor. The government is not friendly advice. Uncle Sam isn't there to be your buddy. You know, they're there to take and justify taking. And the guys won't let them take, you go after those. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to the CIA guy again. Yeah, there's going to be. And that was from James Bovard. We have him on. He writes a lot about, you know, Washington and a lot of this stuff. And he is like, man, he is real sensitive about that. He lives in the belly of the beast. I mean, he's in the Washington area. I mean, hell, you stand on a roof or something, you get out and you can see the Washington Monument. And I go, if I can see the Washington Monument from, like, anywhere, you know, around where you're at, then you're freaking in Washington. I don't give a crap what you say, what line there is. So this is, you know, so he kind of pushes back on that. He goes, no. But he knows CIA guys, you know, so have him come on the show. That was cool. You know, one of the things that I'd like to just mention is this. You know, Elon Musk, I don't know how much you're paying attention, but they got, it'll go up, I don't know, I think he said like 60 kilometers. I mean, that's, might as well be space. 100 kilometers is freaking space. But what they're doing is they're taking, I think they're putting a cluster of 3 Raptor engines. It's their new engine that uses methane. And the reason they wanted to do that, one, they get, you know, a lot more fuel efficiency and efficiency, a conversion to thrust from the weight of the blah, 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 98% or something. So what he does is he designed a rocket engine for oxygen and methane. And the reason is because with water and carbon dioxide on Mars, you can make your own fuel. So they're sending ships there to go and it'll just start making fuel. The rocket, you know, is the factory. So they're going to sit there. Well, then, of course, they're going to need water. You better find them some water. Robot go over and tap into it, turn on the faucet or something. I don't know how they're going to do that. But they're going to go ahead and do it, and they're going to be making rocket fuel. When they got the rocket fuel for the return journey, I don't know if they're going to go, hey, man, we got a problem with the fuel maker. We need somebody to go over there and fix it. And if you can't fix it, you're dead. So I'm going, we'll see how that works out. But they are using methane because they can make their own rocket fuel and go anywhere in the solar system. And this is the point that he's making. He goes, look, we're going to Europa. We're going to Titan. Mars is going to be the exploration hub and base for, you know, deeper solar system exploration. There's a bunch of goodies. We're going to go get some. And we have the moon. Now, the moon is the moon. They're going to be doing lava tubes, and they think they got them. They know where they're at on Mars also. There was a series that was done by Ron Howard called, I think it was just Mars. That was a National Geographic or something. And it was kind of interwoven contemporary news guys sitting down, you know, the NASA guy, Elon Musk, maybe some other directors or something, talking about certain things, and then they have the dramatization of being on Mars on these bases, and it kind of, you know, goes through different things, and you had the scientists there, and then later some private industry came with the support of the, you know, whatever, for the money of the stock of the yada, 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 yada. And it's gone on maybe a second season, I think. Well, it's at least finished the first season and watched that. And I thought it was pretty interesting. It was worth watching. But the one thing that, you know, Elon is doing is within a couple of weeks, you know, it's standing up there. You got, you know, the ship there. And they're going, yep, they're going to go up high enough that they can bring it in to give its reentry orientation, has actuated fins on it, so it kind of gets his belly flop and bleeding off speed, like falling like a skydiver. Now, it'll come in hot as it's coming in horizontally to the atmosphere, slowing down, but eventually it just starts falling, you know, just like a skydiver just falling. Well, that's what they wanted, to kind of orientate to where it had just, you know, slow down, and then it light the engines and retro and land like Buck Rogers movie. Boom. So they did the demonstration. There's videos of the presentation. There's the ship sitting there. And any day, you know, certainly within a month, and we're going to be in sea. Then what? I don't know. Hey, Co, here on Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Government form. It's a mindset attitude that you need to get with it, man. I'm just telling you, they want to beat that out of you. Just going to beat the devil out of you of your resistance to authority. Now, I just got, you know, some more silver from my Georgia listener. He sends me, you know, this was a great thing for, this is what happened. Yesterday, we get the envelope and it comes in, you know, a letter and, it, you know, I'll just show you because I like, see, where's the camera? I do this one. This one. There we go. So it just comes in like this. It's got an envelope in there addressed to us, and it has, and kind of, so it gets in. And my granddaughter, 10-year-old Kaylee, she's sitting and she's going, well, what's this? It's, well, it's for grandpa. Go ask grandpa, you know? I'm like, all right. You know, they call me Papa. So Papa, they go, Papa, what's this? You're going to explain it to you. Bob was over. We're planning our trip later today. We leave. You know, we're going to go see Thomas in Springfield, Missouri, and help with some firewood there real quick. Then we'll go Boston area, north of Boston on the New Hampshire, Massachusetts border, a small town where Bob's at. And we're going to, you know, do the kitchen there. And that's the only exchange for a bunch of help and a bunch of pirate projects that we're doing. Well, I need, you know, he's not going to be available for what I need until he gets this done. So I got to help him get it done. That's just the way it is. Like, we help with Derek and his warehouse. So we're going to go up and visit Derek. We're going to go visit Jay. We're going to look at his big giant dome that he's re-sheetrocking inside and rebuilding, furbing that structure. So we're going to learn a bunch of stuff and share with and do some stories from the road. And then we have Charles Goyette. He's probably going to guest host at least one day, if not more. That'd be awesome. Then we have Dr. Frank and Tim, and they may do guest hosting. So you're going to get entertained over the next month, so you just stay tuned. You know, chill out. Be all good. Plus, they'll be on the road, and you get to see a bunch of the pictures and interviews and stuff that's going on. When I went back to Maine, we did shows in the morning. Those were awesome, too. Now, so he sends this gentleman from Georgia. I don't know who it is. He's just a regular listener for a long time. And he sends, you know, $30, $40 in cash or something and junk silver. You know, or these 64 dimes and quarters and so on. So he'll send a chunk of these. So it was a great teaching moment for my granddaughter. So Donna knew to say, you know, I'm sure Grandpa want to tell you all about it. So I go, well, you know, people listen and they want to support what we're doing and so on. And I encourage people to send silver because I know this, here's the money and here's this, you know, which one's more valuable to you? What's going to last longer? What's going to be worth more? What's going to buy you more? And I go, this silver right there, you know, and they go, yeah, well, you gave us some silver. Yes, I did. In the form of silver dime cards, so they wouldn't be buying ice cream with it or something. So we gave them a bunch and bought them a little safe. So they got, you know, it's a little Harbor Freight. It's a safe. It's a real safe, you know, but it's not going to take a sledgehammer, you know, multiple times. But I mean, it's a nice little safe for a kid. So they, it went free. I mean, it's like $80 safe. So I mean, you know, Harbor Freight, $80. So you're looking at like a $300 somebody else's safe that might be better. But anyway, it's a good safe for a kid. So they put it in their closet. They got the combination, and mom and dad's got a key, you know, in case, you know, because they'll forget, lose something. And they have accumulated silver in there. So I keep telling them, you know, I pay them in silver. Whenever you do, I go, a little silver. This is not for spending, okay? You can't. Now, if they, you know, need something or later and they get old, they'll figure it out. They can go precious metals or get it. They wanted to start, they lobbied and their dad agreed to pay their allowance in silver. And I go, yeah, have you got any? Well, no. I go, well, you got to keep hammering on him. He's like, I'm going to go through all the process of convert and give me and all your cash, and I give you this. So one day when we're over there, we'll just make a day of it, and I'll just go, all right, today's the day. Boom. You take that stuff in there, give it to your dad. Dad, give the silver, go back and save him. You're done. I'll do that. So thank you for that. I really appreciate, you know, people that participate. When we're going to be doing some subscription-based stuff. We're still working on it to give all you guys the power that I have in the site without the access to the back end. See, what happens, I have access to a bunch of stuff. I go, look, all this stuff people should be able to do, but I want them to be able to go into the back end. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not their job. So we're setting all that up, getting the different layers done. Hopefully, I mean, it's always, you know, within a couple of days, which means weeks. But when that gets done, we're going to make a big deal out of it and have a silver option. There'll be crypto and this and that. A lot of people paid their subscriptions when we did the magazine, used to be a subscription base. You know, they did in silver. You know, how do you track that? You know, they just put it to an account. Now, because you can open up an account on there. You need an email. That's just the way it works. You need to be communicative enough with us to be able to, you know, get you your password and stuff like that. How else would you do it? There's other places that they're doing other things, but yeah, we need your email. You know, so far, I mean, we can do it to where we not later, and we might get to that. But you know, now I'm like, look, man, if you're in this battle, you're not going to be secret. You know, I'd get over it. You know, so it's just, but who do you share this information with, and how? That's what's coming. That's what they're trying to shut down. That's what's all this deplatforming, censoring, and everything. They want to stop the spread, the viralness of things. That whatever they want done, of course, they'll want that to go viral. But the this other stuff, that, so we're creating the mechanism for that very thing. A backup. Well, it's not as fast as. I'll tell you what, it's faster than the one that's not working. I guarantee you that. You know, so that's what we need to do, is to have this infrastructure and what we're working on. And it's just that we got time, because we're forewarned. You know, we know what we need to do. We've been doing it. Now you set the immutable internet, IPFS, you got communication, you got subscription base, you can communicate with each other anonymously through our email system and stuff. We don't even have anything to do and don't care, you know, and we did that kind of by accident, because we just wanted to be able to have the emails that one of the other subscribers or a writer or something there, and you say, do you want to show in your profile? Yes, no, yes. You can receive emails through our system from other people in our system, but you don't see each other's emails unless you tell them, and you can communicate. What do we know of that? I don't know. I don't think anything. And look, that was not what we did. We weren't worried about whether we could see it or track it or note it or whatever. You know, it just runs through our system, anonymizes, you know, the email, the account this guy goes to. I don't even know. Could we find something? If we can, I wish we couldn't. You know, because I don't need somebody to go, hey, we need all your records. Don't have them. You know, sucks to be you. And Bob's here. So this is what we're building up to launch. It's not so much, woo, it's the big giant social media freedom sphere going kick ass. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a powerful tool, but it's not really for that. It's for you being able to communicate, and you have the ability to have your own special edition. You have the ability to write whatever you want. You have your own blog. You have your own videos. You have your own staff. You have your own editors. You have your own database, your email dispatch, your own ads, your own. This has always been here. You know, why isn't it been? Because we haven't really pushed it. We haven't stratified it. We've been working on this cocktail napkin for a decade, you know, creating this for when it got shut down. And we go, all right. Well, they're going to when they shut down, they're going to shut down. Do you have your 1 and 0 permit? Did you get your permission slip to communicate with, like, people? Oh, you don't. I used to say this years ago. Ah, you're just crazy. Look at China. Look what happened around the world. Look what they want to do here. You think it's not happening? Of course it was going to happen. Why? Because they can. God, it's just like a slap people. What'd you think was going to happen? Going into the 2020 election, and I'm smelling desperation. Desperation. I don't know what other word is. It's kind of like that's desperation. And the CIA guy we had on, you know, top of the show, you know, what's his thing? Yep. He's smelling some desperation. He was a real whistleblower. Whistleblew on torture. What we're doing, he gets sent through the meat grinder. You have this other whistleblower whistleblowing on the President of the United States of America, and he'll probably get a badge or something. You know, for what? For saying, hey, Ukraine, we just gave you a bunch of money, and maybe you might want to investigate this criminal over here. He didn't even really say that, but that's what they're saying he's saying. So what?
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the Crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay. This is what we want to talk to Bob about. You know, Bob is, we're going back to the Boston area, Massachusetts border with New Hampshire and so on. And what we're doing while we're back there is, what are we going to be doing, Bob? What was the deal?
Which mic do I want to be on?
I don't know. Which one? We'll pick that one.
Mic two.
Yeah, right there. We're good.
Hello.
Yeah, that's it. Go.
Hello. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to what?
We're going to refurbish a home I have back there, and we're going to be there for a significant portion of the cold, frigid winter. And instead of heating my house with electric heat, I'm going to heat my house with crypto miners.
Okay, so we have some extra miners. I got some extra setup and so on. And where it's the most effective is in the winter, and especially with guys that have homes with cold basements and busting pipes, and you know they're in Central America while they got their home in Washington State or New Hampshire or Maine or something like that. So extra miners, extra this, extra that. I sent, you know, one to Derek that he has in his warehouse. It used to be, it's been a lot of things. At one time, it was a butchery or something, you know, thing. And it has this one big, giant walk-in cooler. Remember my restaurant, that cooler?
Yeah.
Multiply that times like 20.
Wow.
I mean, the entire cooler is almost the size of my restaurant. Okay.
I gotcha.
I mean, it's one of those big ones,
yeah,
you know.
It was
bring a forklift in.
It was a meat processing place.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you got hanging meat, that kind of thing. So, it's really nice that in the winter, you can keep it warm, and in the summer, you can keep it cool, you know. So, for whatever you need. So, that's where he stores a bunch of his perishable stuff or, you know, in the mom's basement Christmas decoration, whatever. Goes in there. And his family, they have, like, separate rooms that they kind of studded out, and it's got, you know, chicken wire. So, they go, this is your stuff, this is my stuff, that kind of thing. Well, to keep it warm, he just put a crypto miner in there.
Damn.
That thing, that whole thing, it be warm.
Yeah.
One miner, okay? So, we do... And we have another friend that we did four, I think. Keith Cernick's got four, and he has the solar panels. At the end of the year, he has all this extra power that he just sells back to the electric company he has to at 2 cents a kilowatt. And he's like, screw that, man. What are you paying? You know, 15 cents? You know, I'm paying here probably 12, something like that when I got the full price. Now, on the miner over there, because I got a different package, you can't turn it on. It'll beat the crap out of you between 3 and 8. But if you got, we got these hot water timers. Yeah, we should take one of those back, too.
Got
these hot water timers that it will only turn on at, you know, 1-2 minutes after 3, and it turns, you know, I mean, turns off at, you know, 2 minutes before 3, and doesn't turn on until like a couple minutes after 8. Because if I don't, then it's $1 billion, and they charge in surcharge of extra, whatever. But if I can keep the power consumption outside of that, and you get 24/7 on 24 on the weekends and holidays, but you set all that up in the computers and everything, and I just let it run, and it made me money pretty cheap. But it got to the point, the hash rate was so much, you know, so many people out there doing it, it couldn't make its money back. It was cheaper just to go buy the crypto. So I go, okay. So I just went and bought the crypto. Mine the crypto, buy the crypto. But let me tell you when the energy and the usage really comes in, when you're using it for heating.
That's right. You got to heat the house. You might as well
heat the house. Well, what do you use to heat it now?
Oil. It's got an oil furnace. But, you know, I mean, whether you're paying for oil or whether you're paying for electricity, you got to heat the house. So,
how does the oil, is it have like hot water radiator things?
Hot air furnace. It's, you know, big flame comes on, goes roar, and got a heat exchanger, and air passes through it and heats the house, and a crap load of the heat goes up the chimney.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't seem very efficient.
No, it isn't.
Okay, so then you have, because I remember the first time I had this oil heating thing, you had a full tank, and then you go fill it later. And when we were in Sheepshead Bay in Queens, New York, I remember we had the second and third story. You know, it was a bunch of airline stewardesses. That was back in the day. But anyway, so I was helping a friend move back, and it was – you always had a date. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I will help you.
But the first time they refilled that over a month, it was $800 in oil.
Oh, yeah. It's not cheap.
This was back in the 80s. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Mm-hmm. This is, oh, hell no. We live in colder, man. Put on a sweater. I mean, you know. So the electric baseboards that just produce heat by what? Resistive.
Just resistive heating.
So do you have those or going to do those or can do those? Or
no.
Well, that's what the miners would do.
That's what the miners are going to do.
All right. So if it does that and it creates, it obviously makes heat. And even if it doesn't make all its money back, it's cheaper than heating.
Yeah, it's a baseboard heater that pays for half itself. Even if it pays for half itself, quarter of itself, any of itself is better than none of itself.
This is where, and I've seen these before. I saw ads for them, and it was Ethereum miners. They had graphic cards in there, and it was something you just plopped on your wall, and it was a radiative, you know, heating. I mean, it was just, you know, resistive heating. You know, you get electricity, makes heat, and it just, you know, heat the, and you made money.
Yeah, I can't believe the whole world isn't doing it. Any place that's got, like, you know, got a heat in the wintertime, why people aren't heating their house with crypto miners is amazing.
I think it's evolving to that. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be some primary coins that are going to, you know, survive the economic apocalypse that's coming, and those will be integrated into a lot of this kind of stuff, just like solar on your house.
Yeah, I'm surprised utility companies, you know, like the, you know, Con Ed or whatever it is, they're not telling people, hey, if you buy this, you'll be able to heat your house for half the cost of normal, and that the miners just dump the Bitcoin into whatever crypto back to the Con Ed or whatever the utility is. Why they aren't just making these and giving them to people.
Because there's no consistency in the future. You know, that coin, it's gone. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a fluid thing. It's where on the edge of the free market, people take advantage of this kind of stuff, and then it becomes mainstream after it gets settled and stable and blah, blah, blah.
I remember we first talked about it where I always thought I was going to put some back there because I wasn't going to be there. I just wanted to put one or two in the basement just so that the pipes wouldn't freeze. You know, I mean, the house might not heat the house, but it would keep the basement warm enough.
No, this is
going
to heat the house.
That would be awesome.
No, this is, you know, when we have, because in the winter here, it gets cold. It's below freezing. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, you'd be in the 20-something, you know. It's kind of chilly, you know, but it takes like no time at all. When Keith starts turning on the miners, I can see it. I can look in and go, "Woo, the boy be doing." He go over there and he goes, "I'm in panties, man." It's like 85 degrees. I'm good, you know. I'm. And what he did, we did it late in the year. It took us a while to get to it, and we couldn't burn up all of his electricity. We tried. He was sitting there sweating his ass off. He just, you know, woohoo, man, it was red. That boy be growing some marijuana or something. He's heating in the infrared, just blowing out on the satellite because he was trying to burn off as much of the electricity as possible with four S9 miners. He had so much built up that he was trying to mine it as much as he could as a donation to us because it was just like free energy that he had built up over the year because he has all the solar and he doesn't use any, and he has a hybrid car. Keith's got it going on, man. Yeah. He's like Bob, you know, consumer Bob. He's not doing a lot of project, doing it himself. He just kind of he's living large. And he's been busy. At Mayo is just keeping him really busy with his physical therapy business stuff. But the we're going to go back. We're going to install that. And how many square foot is the home?
Well, let's see. It's two stories, so it's probably, about 1,200 maybe.
It's just a small little farmhouse kind of thing.
It's not a huge house.
And in the kitchen, we're going to what? We're going to strip it down to the bare everything?
Yeah, we'll go right down to the subfloor or below the subfloor. We'll go right down to the joists if I need to, and then we'll put a new subfloor in and take the sheetrock off the wall and make sure the insulation's sound because I don't know what's back behind the wall. Get that all.
Yeah, might as well just do it. You're there. Yeah, what the hell, you know? Get an extra half day, put sheetrock back up.
Yeah, going to get it all up to where it needs to be. I'm going to have the plumbing redone on the, you know, the kitchen and the bathroom since they share a wet wall, and get that all taken care of, then re-sheet rock it and put new cabinets in and new floor.
Okay. We're doing it, got to be all legit Massachusetts government and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're going to come after you. You touched it, and we got a list for you.
That's why I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to go, come in. I'm going to, like, flail on the floor, urinate on my stomach, and tell them how bad you want me to do it, and like, just make it legal, and what's it going to cost me? Not even going to play the game. I don't have time. Yeah, it's not I'm staking my freedom flag and it's on for the fight. Right. I'm just like, nope, I'm going to capitulate.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to capitulate and do what I need to do.
Yeah. And we're going to get it done in a couple of weeks. Right. We're going to be waiting on Inspector.
I'll be there all winter, you know. You'll be there.
Well, we're going to get, you know, when we're doing this, you know, do you have to have a permit to demo?
I'm going to find out. If the guy shows up the house and goes, what the hell are you doing? I'll go, I'm so sorry. Lay on my back, piss on my belly.
An extra couple $100 if I just did it.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Now, this is going to be shows.
Oh, yeah. No,
we're going to do shows the whole time we're back there and walk you guys through this and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's. I've been preparing for this. I know what it's going to be. It's the reason I moved out of Mass.
Now, you should be out there a week before I get there. Just deal all the crap. But, you know, we have time to do other stuff while they're jerking around there. We go visit the other guys. And,
oh yeah,
yeah. We're gonna stay busy. It's gonna be a full trip, and you guys get to share it with us.
Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock continues after the news, live on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates. Produced in partnership with SNLS News and listeners like you. Online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. I'm Mick Murrow with your latest edition of the Liberty Beat. Gold is trading at $1,507, silver at $17.59, and Bitcoin is trading around $8,274. Today's prices are brought to you by InnoScale. Take off with ManageCloud. Looking for a safe, secure way to store your important files online? Let InnoScale handle it for you. Their high-availability cloud servers are the perfect solution for clients needing one or more secure, scalable servers